obviously it's very important. I mean, for Coach Reed, for us, for Kansas City, we want to go out there and play our best football and try to win the game for them. And it's going to be an amazing experience. We're going to go out there and we're going to try to play our best football, have fun doing it, and hopefully find a way to win it.
That would be great, Patrick. Sounds like a very good plan. Let's go ahead and execute the plan and go ahead and bring home a Super Bowl for the first time in 50 years. Since January of 1970, Super Bowl IV, when the Chiefs took care of the Vikings 23-7. Welcome to the Sports Ticket. Wade and Dusty with you. We'll have an extensive breakdown of Super Bowl 54. We'll hear from a lot of other participants and both head coaches coming up in just a little bit. But first, we have high school basketball tonight on the radio, and we have a complete schedule of basketball, and we'll let Dusty cover everything today and this weekend and hear from some of the coaches in tonight's games on the radio.
Yeah, we'll get things going here on Katy Country 94 tonight, Lakeside at Osborne. Pregame coverage for the girls around 5:50, tip-off 6 o'clock. If we're not on then, just hang with us. It might be a little bit later than that, but that's on Katy Country 94 and online at katycountry94.com tonight. So we'll have that one with the Lakeside Osborne County rivalry, also on Z96 through the lake. And Katy Country 94, as well as online video stream of Beloit Trojan Channel at ncksports.com. Russell at Beloit tonight, pregame at 5:50, tip-off at 6 for the girls, and then again the boys to follow here this evening. The other games are going on tonight. Tescott is at St. John's Tipton. That game's in Tipton, those varsity doubleheaders there. Thunder Ridge is at Southern Cloud tonight, Lincoln at Natoma, and Pike Valley at Chase. Then a non-league game, Sylvan Lucas is at Otis Bison this evening. And in the Mid-Continent League, Smith Center is at Stockton. So that's a look at what's going on here tonight for those area teams. Also today in wrestling, Smith Center is out at the Ellis Tournament. It's a Western Kansas Tournament of Champions, what it used to be. It used to be Mid-Continent League and Northwest Kansas League schools together, but now it's only the Mid-Continent League schools with Leota there as well. It's at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Then at 3 o'clock this afternoon, the Beloit Trojan wrestling team is on the road at the Hoisington Round Robin. So both those wrestling teams, by the way, were in action last night. Beloit won over Ellsworth in a duel 52-24, and Smith Center won 35-32 over Norton. So that covers what's going on as far as wrestling's concerned. Osborne's at the Red Cloud, Nebraska tournament tomorrow as well at 9:30. So high school hoops tonight we're looking forward to, and wrestling throughout the weekend for our area athletes as well.
All right, Lakeside Osborne playing again. Girls and boys doubleheader tonight, as Dusty mentioned, on Katy Country 94. And Trina Luters, head coach of the Osborne Lady Bulldogs, the keys on taking on Lakeside.
As usual, Lakeside and Osborne kind of have a tough games against each other, so we're going to come out. We're going to focus on our defensive end and boxing out, getting our rebounds, and working together as a team. When everybody takes care of their piece of the puzzle, then it clicks well for us.
Lakeside head coach Travis Eberle on what they have to do against the Bulldogs tonight.
The key for us to be successful on Friday is that, you know, we got to crash the board. You know, we got to box out and don't give them too many second chance points. We got to stop the transition plays. You know, we can't let them get transition points on us, because that's one thing we did in the first meeting that we got to, you know, that we got to correct. And you know, the Luters girl, you know, she's an all-around just excellent ball player. She can shoot the ball quick. She knows how to get open. And you know, we just got to keep her in check.
Osborne Lakeside girls tonight. And remind us of how that went the first time.
Osborne won 42-25. It was the second game of the season, though, so there's probably a lot of different things going on under a new coach there. So we'll see what happens in this second time around. But it should be a very good game if Lakeside plays like they did on Tuesday.
All right, boys' game, Lakeside and Osborne, first time they met.
82-58, Osborne won.
Osborne, number one team in the state.
Yes.
In 1A right now and undefeated. Jamie Walters, head coach of the number one team in the state in 1A, says Lakeside could present a challenge tonight.
I think they're just getting a little more confident amongst their group. Kylan is playing well, and Tyler Schoen's been scoring the ball a little bit better than what he was there early. Of course, Wyatt's having a really good year. So, you know, they've got the pieces there to challenge us, so we better make sure we're ready.
And Lakeside head coach Drew Dusky realizes Osborne's pretty solid.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough, you know. I think that if we play well for four quarters, I think we could play with them. But they play really good defense. They're up in your face. They guard so well. And then it seems like everybody they put on the floor, especially their starters, you know, anybody could drop 15 to 20 points on you in a night. So, you know, you key in on one guy and then another guy hurts you. So, you know, we're going to have to figure out the defensive schemes and try to limit their possessions. And they want to push the ball kind of like us, but we can't get into a track that's Osborne. They're so fast.
Lakeside at Osborne Night, girls and boys doubleheader on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com. On Z96.3 The Lake, Beloit, do they play home games? Apparently they do. They have not played a home game since December 13th. That's 6 weeks. Last time they played at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while. They've had 8 straight games on the road, 5 of those road games, 3 over at the Orangerback Classic in Colby. And tonight, a matchup between the Beloit and Russell girls. Russell girls have been struggling, but they've won 2 in a row after starting year 1-9. They beat Smith Center the other night by 2 points, so they're starting to gain some traction. And Beloit, after that big, huge win over Sacred Heart the other night, they can't afford a letdown tonight. And when Beloit and Russell get together on the girls' basketball floor, it almost always comes down to the final minutes, if not seconds. And Coach Remus tells us about Russell.
Russell's an improved team as I watch them go along, and they played Smith Center, and I think they had a really good game there. So we're just going to have to continue to take care of the ball, and they're young, so you know, we'll try to expose what we can as far as defensively against them. But you know, the kids are just going to have to just lace the shoes up and go to work again.
Beloit plays 3 games this week, and you're going to see that from a lot of teams now, where you're going to play 3 games in a span of 5 days. I believe Minneapolis plays tomorrow on a Saturday, and then they turn around on a Monday. From what I was told, they play tomorrow. I would guess they play tonight, too. And then they play Monday in a makeup with Beloit on Monday. So Beloit, actually, 3 of the next 4 games are at home, finally. But they play 3 games next week. They play 2 games this week, 3 games last week, 3 straight days. So Beloit's playing a lot of games. And Sacred Heart hadn't played a game in 2 weeks because they weren't in a midseason tournament. And their 2 games were postponed. So now you got to shove them in. If we get any other bad weather here between now and substate time, it's going to be really tough to reschedule.
Oh, yeah.
I would think. So the Beloit girls and boys hosting Russell tonight. Beloit boys really struggled offensively in the loss of Sacred Heart, just 32 points. Russell is a team that just has struggled, period. They've lost 18 in a row in boys basketball to Beloit. And Russell has lost 169 of the last 196 games. That's 27 wins and 169 losses. They have not been good for a very long time on the boys' side of things. And this will be the last time that Russell comes to Beloit in the regular season, although they're in the same substate, so there's a chance, I guess, although Russell probably won't get to the semifinals at substate, is when you have the home games Beloit hosting this year, because Russell is leaving for the Mid-Continent League. So Smith Center Russell got a taste of that the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And Coach Eilert, not really concerned as much about the Russell team as he is his own.
Well, they're struggling to get wins. They have some guys that I think can score the ball, but have struggled to get wins. And you know, right now, I'm more concerned about what we're doing and how we're handling things and what kind of mindset we're going to come in on. So for us, we've got to come out and do things right and take steps forward instead of just kind of staying where we're at.
Russell at Beloit tonight on Z96.3 The Lake. And then come out Monday, we'll have a special edition of high school basketball because it was a postponement from earlier. Minneapolis at Beloit on Monday. We've got some other games we're going to have on the radio and we'll be doing some games on Mondays. Because of makeups from
three
the weather.
3 in a row right now.
3 straight Mondays?
Yeah.
By golly, it's Monday night basketball. So Monday night football. So we'll bring it all to you here. You can count on us, your number one source for high school sports in north central Kansas, KD Country 94, Z96.3 The Lake, and NCKSSports.com. Any other local information you want to pass along? Did you go through things this weekend? Is there any much going on this weekend?
Yeah, just the wrestling, like I mentioned earlier. I think we covered it all.
All right, sounds good. We will save the Chiefs for last because I want to make sure I give a little bit of time here for Big 12 basketball as KU's got a big game. They'll host Texas Tech. KU ranked 3rd in the country. They'll try to keep pace with Baylor. Texas Tech beat West Virginia the other night. They beat number 1 Louisville earlier this year. They nearly beat a top 10 Kentucky team at home last weekend in the Big 12 SEC Challenge, losing in overtime by 2. They also, I believe, lost to TCU. They got a few head-scratching losses, but they've also got some really good wins. And they'll go in Allen Fieldhouse, and they've won there before, if you remember, just a couple years ago. And Bill Self, and what makes Chris Beard's team so tough to beat?
Everybody has their own things that they do. The hardest thing to prepare for if somebody runs it well is motion. Because there's not a pattern to it. They set a ton of fade screens. They do some things that are a little different that you don't see all the time because very few teams run it. And, you know, it is the hardest thing probably to guard if you know what you're doing. You know, he learned that from Coach Knight, obviously. But I think that, and then defensively, they're so sound. You know, they switch a lot, and they're not nervous about putting a 6'1 guard on a 6'10 guy. And so, and they keep the ball one side of the floor better than most, for sure.
Yeah, Brian Haney was with us yesterday, the voice of the Jayhawks, and I've thought this, ever since Texas Tech got going last year. And Brian mentioned it, you know, Baylor is the biggest threat to win the Big 12 this year, although Texas Tech's still in the picture. But in regards to the biggest threat atop the throne for the foreseeable future in the Big 12, the biggest threat is Texas Tech. And they're building a $23 million facility. Everything's going in the right direction. Fans are supporting them. Of course, Brian used to be the voice of Texas Tech Red Raiders, so he knows what he's talking about. But he said it all is about Chris Beard staying there. Will he stay there, or will he jump to the NBA, or will he go, you know, let's say John Calipari decides to retire. Would he go to Kentucky? Something crazy like that. Go to one of the Blue Bloods. Maybe Roy Williams steps down. You'd think it'd be a former Tar Heel that might lead the way for North Carolina, but maybe not. Yeah, I mean, Bill Self's not a former Jayhawk, and he's leading the KU program, so anything's possible. But Texas Tech is for real, folks, and I think they're going to I think they're to the point where they just reload instead of rebuild, and I think they're going to be really tough to beat later on this year. Texas Tech at number 3, Kansas. Tip time is 3 o'clock tomorrow, pregame 2:30 on Z96.3 Laker, home for the Jayhawks in north central Kansas. K-State coming off a win against Oklahoma earlier this week, and they will be at number 12, West Virginia. That's on ESPN2. So now, for all you K-State fans, you can quit whining about Big 12 now and ESPN Plus at least for a day. K-State and West Virginia, that's a 1 o'clock start tomorrow on ESPN2. Bruce Weber, his team playing West Virginia for the second time this year. The first time was a good game, a great day, the best win of the season for K-State.
We think we're a good team. We just haven't done it. We haven't done it consistently. Now can we make a run here in the second half and, you know, have some things go our way? But all you can worry about is getting ready for West Virginia. You know, we fight our butts off, see what we can do. And we know it's not going to be easy, especially the way we beat them the first time. But hopefully we have some good idea of how to combat them and defend them and what we can do to score on them.
All right, so, you know, nobody really gave K-State much of a chance the first time they played them. And I would guess people are giving even less of a chance of them winning at West Virginia, which kind of doesn't make sense, because if they won by 16 the first time, why can't they beat the same team this time around? Because they're on a different floor. The floor is still, the rims are still 10 feet high. The three-point line's the same distance. The court's the full length. It's just that fans aren't exactly for you. They're against you. But, you know, should we just automatically chalk this up as a West Virginia win or not?
I don't ever say automatically. Mm-hmm. I think everybody knows West Virginia's a different team at home.
Right.
It's just a different animal that you're dealing with.
And but every year they lose a game at home that they shouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
They get up for the big ones, but they lose a game against a team that they're better than, it seems like, every year.
Yeah.
At home.
I'm just not feeling overly confident, because I don't think they're real happy about what happened last time the two teams played. And I think they're going to get – K-State's going to get West Virginia's best shot tomorrow.
I would think.
Is what I feel. And like I said, I'm not going to just sit here and automatically say, don't play the game, West Virginia's going to win it. I don't ever do that. But I'm not feeling real good about this one for K-State tomorrow.
And West Virginia's coming off a loss
to
Texas Tech as well. K-State at West Virginia tomorrow at 1 o'clock on ESPN2. Big 12 basketball, the rest of the schedule for tomorrow. Iowa State is at Texas at 1 o'clock. Oklahoma State at Oklahoma at 2 o'clock on ABC. And TCU at number 1 Baylor at 3 o'clock on ESPN2. Wichita State back in action. They didn't play during the week. They're 17-3 overall, 5-2 in the American Athletic Conference. Big game for them at Tulsa. Tulsa 14-6, but they are 6-1 atop the conference standings, and that will be tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Big game for the Shockers. They get a win there. That certainly helps their cause, and anytime you get a road win against a team that's ahead of you in the standings is a big, big win.
No doubt. Didn't they just blow out Memphis, too?
Tulsa?
Did, yeah.
They might
I think
have.
They beat them by like 40.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And Memphis has some talent, as we know, under Penny Hardaway. Interesting. All right, so Wichita State, we'll see how they do, and we'll talk more about that coming up on Monday. But no doubt, Wichita State, KU, and K-State have significant tests coming up tomorrow. KU, the only one of those three at home, though. All right, Super Bowl 54. We will have our coverage beginning at 1 o'clock on Z96.3 The Lake. There may be a special, one-hour special. We might run at noon on Sunday, so be listening on your home for Super Bowl 54, North Central Kansas, Z96.3 The Lake. Before we get to some of the sound from some of the participants, I want to touch upon one thing that I think is being overlooked by some. I mean, it's been mentioned, but by some. The Chiefs are a 1.5-point favorite in Super Bowl 54, kickoff slated about 5:30 from Miami. The over-under is 54.5, which I think that's somewhat safe, that there'll be more than 54.5 points scored in this game. we'll give our predictions coming up in a little bit as well. But there's so much talk about the Chiefs' offense versus the Niners' defense. So much talk about Mahomes. So much talk about Garoppolo. You want to put it on him. Talk about the Chiefs' speed at wide receiver. Talk about how the Chiefs don't really run the ball, but they don't need to. Talk about the Niners, how well they run the ball. Talk about the Niners and their pass rush and the Chiefs and their offensive line. Andy Reid getting his first Super Bowl. Kyle Shanahan trying to redeem himself after being offensive coordinator of the Falcons when they're up 28-3 and then lost to the Patriots a few years ago. All that stuff has been covered, and we'll probably cover it again here in a little bit. But the one area that I haven't heard a lot of talk about, special teams. If you've got an evenly matched game, and according to Vegas, it's evenly matched. The Chiefs are a 1 to 1.5 point favorite, almost a pick 'em. Special teams can very well be the difference in this game. And there are reasons, if you're a Chiefs fan, to be excited about that, and there's reasons for you to worry. Let me give you the positives. In the kick punt return game, Mecole Hardman is one of the best in the business. He's a pro bowler. He returned one for a touchdown, had the big return that changed things down 24-0 against the Texans. So he's a threat, or you can always throw Tyreek Hill back there if you want. So that's always a threat. Harrison Butker is the second most accurate kicker in NFL history behind Justin Tucker. So you've got that going for him, although he did miss 4 extra points this year. So that's the good news. The bad news is that the Chiefs have had 2 punts blocked this year. They have missed 4 extra points, and they've had a lot of penalties on kick and punt returns this year, although a lot of that happened the first half of the season. Now, you sit here and you may say, well, it comes down to a field goal. I like our chances. Harrison Butker versus Robbie Gould. Robbie Gould is a veteran. He was a kicker for the Bears for many years. Gould is the sixth most accurate kicker in NFL history, so he's very good. But there have been 5 Super Bowls played in Miami. And Butker makes 89% of his kicks in his career and Gould 86%. Do you want to guess what the percentage of made field goals is when kickers have kicked in the 5 Super Bowls so far in Miami? What the percentage is? Butker's 89. Gould's mid-80s. What do you think the percentage is at Miami?
Since you're bringing it up, it's probably less than 86.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's less.
I would say something like 75.
69.2%. Wow. Kickers in the 5 Super Bowls in Miami have combined to go 18 of 26. There's been at least 1 missed field goal in every Super Bowl that's ever been played at that stadium. So if you want to bet, if there's a prop bet for missing a field goal, you probably should take it. Kickers, listen to this, though. Kickers have combined to hit just 55% of their field goal attempts from beyond 40 yards over all of Super Bowl history, 53 years. Isn't that interesting? So 40-yard field goals are longer. Why would that be? Because some of these games played in domes and inside. Miami's going to be nice and warm. Shouldn't be mud or rain or a problem there. It's because, I think, pressure.
Yeah.
It's all about pressure, man. And that'll be interesting. If it comes down last-second field goal, who has the advantage? Robbie Gould for the Niners, Harrison Butker for the Chiefs. You know, Butker came up big with a clutch field goal last year to tie the game at the end regulation to force overtime against the Patriots. But I'm always nervous about kickers. I don't care how great they are because I've experienced Lynn Elliott. So that's why I'm never comfortable with kickers. But that's something to keep in mind on. The return game, getting kicks blocked. I mean, the Chiefs have not – usually they're really good special teams-wise, and this year they gave up a fake punt when you knew that the Titans needed to run a fake. It was horrible. The Chiefs have had a lot of issues on special teams this year. They've had some good things, but that's a concern going in this game, is it not?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you got a game you feel like it's going to be close and you can't – you know, Vegas can't figure out who the winner is going to be more than a point and a half or a point here or there. Mm-hmm. I mean, special teams will come into play. And, I mean, I'm a K-State football fan, so I understand what special teams can do when it's at the top. And as a Chiefs football fan, we've understood in the past with the guys like Dante Hull and Tyreek Hill and Tamarick Vanover and guys like that, what good return game and special teams can do for a team.
Right.
And so, that's all going to, Mecole Hardman's that guy now, if he can be that guy. But again, like you said, I mean, the punt blocks are a concern, obviously, throughout the whole season. The not being ready for a field goal against the Titans. There's things like that can happen in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then they get magnified.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a better chance for it to happen because of what you just said with all the pressure and nerves and everything involved.
You got long snapper that could be really nervous. We've seen that happen in an NFC title game a few years back, the Giants and the Niners. I don't know what year that was. Remember, it was a bad snap. We've seen it, Tony Romo and the Cowboys against the Seahawks in a wild card game. It wasn't the best snap. It makes you nervous. Every time the Chiefs snap for an extra point or a field goal, and if you're a Niners, you're feeling the same way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it is a 33-yard extra point, not what it used to be, a 20-yarder. So it does make you a little bit nervous. So it's time to hear from some of the participants. Frank Clark, who I think could be an X factor in this game. This is what he's been dreaming about. He's always wanted to be a champion.
Some of these guys have won championships their whole life. National championships, high schools, player of the year awards and stuff. I've never had nothing. So my fire is a little bit different than theirs, you know. What I'm working for and what I'm working towards is a little bit different than theirs. They've had all this glory and all this, you know, all these lights and stuff like that. I'm not working for, you know, the glory and the lights. I'm working for the glory. I love the glory, though. Don't get it twisted, but it's the lights and all the extra stuff I don't really care about. I care about winning football games, and I want to be a champion.
Frank Clark, he caught a lot of heat first part of the year, but what we found out later is he was playing with a pinched nerve in his neck. He then got a really bad stomach virus, and then once he became healthy was the Charger game in Mexico City, and that's when the Chiefs defense started to turn it around. So there is a correlation between Frank Clark and this defense playing well, and Frank Clark will be mic'd up Super Bowl 54. That should be very entertaining. Frank Clark, in essence, was a swap with D Ford. D Ford was traded from the Chiefs to the Niners in the offseason. Then the Chiefs went out and got Frank Clark and paid him a lot of money and gave up draft picks to go get him from Seattle. D Ford is a really good pass rusher. Frank Clark is a more complete player, and he fits the system Steve Spagnuolo runs, and that's why the Chiefs did that. And I don't know. I think there's a little bit of he was offsides, and people are never going to let him forget it. An AFC title game last year.
Yeah.
And D Ford's a guy that a lot of times would get banged up and wouldn't be on the field, and some people feel like he's not nearly as tough as Frank Clark. Frank Clark said this week he's not very fond of D Ford. Didn't elaborate on that, so don't know why. D Ford was asked, how familiar are you with the Kansas City Chiefs offense? The answer is kind of surprising.
No, I mean, I didn't know their playbook. I don't know their plays. No defense knows their offense plays. I saw them, but at the end of the day, once the season came around and we played different teams, you kind of forget. You kind of know what they anticipate, but that doesn't give you much of an edge. If anything, it'll make you think too much going into the game.
Interesting answer. You think too much instead of just reacting. What about facing his former teammates, D Ford versus his teammates from the Chiefs over the years?
Of course, with Chris and Anthony, guys on the defensive side who are still there, the offensive line. I actually had to guard Kelsey one-on-one in pass coverage, and he had to guard me one-on-one in pass protection. Those are my brothers that I spent a lot of time with, and just like anybody who's going to play their brother, the competition just goes up another level.
So Frank Clark is motivated, obviously. D Ford's going to be motivated to play well against the Chiefs. Of course, you should all be motivated. It's Super Bowl. But I guess if there's extra motivation, there it is. Nick Bosa might be the defensive rookie of the year. He's even a candidate for MVP of the year in regards to the defensive play of the year, I should say, not MVP. That's going to be Lamar Jackson. But Nick Bosa, when you think about it, the Chiefs and the Niners intertwine. If Garoppolo doesn't get hurt last year and tears his ACL, if he just goes out of bounds in that game at Arrowhead like he should have, remember who he got hit by? Steve Nelson, who's now with the Steelers.
Yeah.
And he tore his ACL. The Niners they started out well before leading up to that game. They went a tailspin. They went 4-12. That allowed them to be high in the draft to draft Nick Bosa. And he could be an X factor in this game. He's an outstanding pass rusher. And he talks about the keys to slowing down Patrick Mahomes on Super Bowl Sunday.
Stay in your rush lanes. Try and condense the pocket on top of him. Don't be rushing too high or too low and letting him get the edge or letting him escape through the A or B gaps because he likes to do that and extend plays. So just rush as a unit and, just try and keep him in that pocket.
I'm more worried about Bosa than I am D Ford personally in this game. But you've got Mitchell Schwartz and you got Eric Fisher at your tackles, and they've been Pro Bowlers and pay a lot of money to protect. So the question might be more about up the middle. More on that coming up in a little bit. Jimmy Garoppolo, a lot of people just apparently think he can't throw the football because he hasn't in the playoffs very much. Well, when you don't have to, then you don't. Doesn't mean he can't throw it. He's still pretty good. He's really good on deep passes, by the way, and that's got to concern you. But if they run it well, that sets up the play action. But Jimmy Garoppolo was a backup quarterback on the Patriots a few years back when the Patriots played Atlanta and the Falcons were up 28-3. Kyle Shanahan, now the head coach of the Niners, was the offensive coordinator. And it was the biggest collapse in Super Bowl history, or the biggest comeback, whichever way you want to spin it. And the Patriots won in overtime. Jimmy G was on the New England winning sideline, and he says you never know what might happen in the Super Bowl.
I was a part of a Super Bowl that, you know, was pretty crazy, 28-3. So, I mean, anything could happen. You just got to, I think you have to stay locked in, especially a game of this caliber, playoff game, Super Bowl. I think just, you know, you never know what could happen.
Hey, we saw it with the Chiefs divisional round, down 24-0, and they scored 51 and went on a 51-7 run. Just because the Niners jump out 17-7 Sunday doesn't mean freak out. If the Chiefs are up 17-0, that doesn't mean the game's over. We got to understand that. Jimmy G, his wideouts, they bought in. If they're running the ball, they say run the ball.
It's rare. It's something I've never really been around. And I don't know, just especially last week coming off the field, I think it was after our second drive or something, those guys were yelling, you know, we need to run the ball. And you just don't see that every day out of your receivers. And so when everyone's, you know, that bought in, it makes for a good team.
Yeah, because some wideouts are like, I want the ball. I don't care we're running the ball well. I want my numbers. And that's selfish.
Mm.
And that's why the Niners are a really good team, because they're not worried about statistics. And they ended up being, hard to believe, but they scored more points this year than the Chiefs did. And people keep talking about how the offense of the Chiefs is so great. And it is. It is really, really good. It is great. It's been great in the playoffs. Speaking of that, one of the big weapons is Travis Kelce. And the trip to Miami, you know, Travis said you got to fight for your right to party. My wife was proud of that comment. She's a big Beastie Boys fan. So that was pretty cool, I thought, with Jim Nance on the podium after the AFC title game when the Chiefs won and holding up the trophy. And while I'm sure the Chiefs have had some fun in Miami and Kelce's had some fun, it's still about taking care of business, staying focused.
Oh, man, we're all enjoying each other on the team, enjoying how crazy this has all been. But it's when we're out there working, we're out there with a purpose. Oh, man, everybody's been dialed in. It's a good 2 weeks of practice, really.
You know, Kelce and Mahomes are really good friends. They're on the same wavelength. The timing patterns that they run are really, really good. And it's hard to defend that. And Kelce explains his relationship with Mahomes.
Working through practice and building those instincts to know where the other one wants you to go and or really where Pat wants me to go and me being able to get there at the right time. But I feel like, yeah, just a lot of, I don't know, hanging out with the team and building the chemistry and making sure that we're doing the right things.
Speaking of Mahomes, well, he's going to face a really good defense, and it's a defense that he respects. Of course, Mahomes respects every defense.
The way they play together, the way that their defensive line, linebackers and DBs can all play as one unit. They really understand the scheme. They understand what the defense coordinator is calling, and they do a good job of executing at a high level.
And Mahomes knows that he has to be ready to run the football. It looks like he's healthy again, and that's something we'll talk about in more detail coming up in a little bit, is Mahomes' legs, not his arm, and how big it was, of course, against Tennessee and Houston in the playoffs. And Mahomes says he's ready to run if need be.
I think the mobility will be something that I'll have to utilize. I mean, when you have a pass rush like this that can really get after the quarterback, not necessarily mobility running down the field, but mobility in the pocket, being able to move the pocket whenever I have to and get the ball out of my hands will be very important.
No question, Mahomes is the leader of this team. Tyrann Mathieu came over, of course, as a free agent. He realizes that.
We got a lot of personalities on the team. None of those are greater than a quarterback. I feel like those guys are, you know, obviously right under the head coach. And I feel like he's always been a leader. You know, that's how he walks. That's how he talks. And I think as a team, we feed off that. We know that we have a confident quarterback, obviously a quarterback that can get it done athletically, but mentally he's strong.
And, of course, one of the biggest subplots of this Super Bowl is that the Chiefs would love to win one for Andy Reid.
He's a coach that's won a lot of games. He's had an amazing career, and obviously we want to win this game, the big Super Bowl, and put that on his resume. But, I mean, he's someone that's been successful from day one, and he's still successful now.
Wouldn't it be something if Andy Reid is holding up that Super Bowl trophy, the Lombardi trophy, coming up on Sunday night? That would be just a guy that, was it 21 years he would have to wait to win a Super Bowl? Cowher had to wait 14 years. You know, it is interesting. I've heard people talk about coaches winning Super Bowls, and Cowher couldn't win one until he got Big Ben. And obviously Reed, Donovan McNabb was pretty good. And by the way, Donovan McNabb has already spoke to the team because he was Super Bowl starting quarterback against the Patriots back in 04.
Yeah.
But in order to win Super Bowls, you usually need a franchise quarterback. And I don't know if Jimmy Garoppolo is that, but there's a big difference in this game at quarterback, at least on the surface. That doesn't mean that Jimmy Garoppolo can't go out and play really, really well. And Andy Reid, he appreciates the Hall of Fame talk. There's talk of, hey, you get the Super Bowl, you're going to be a Hall of Fame automatically. If you don't, it might be a borderline. He's tickled by it.
Very humbled by it. I mean, I've got great guys here, friends likewise around the league, been doing a long time, so I appreciate that. But this game's not. This is about this team, and so the guys that have worked so hard to get where they're at right now, the players, the coaches, it's about the organization.
Tyrann Mathieu, what would it mean to him to win a Super Bowl?
It'll be humbling for me. For me, it's about, you know, the people that's around me, and really feel so fortunate to be around a great group of guys. You know, but for me, it'll be very humbling to be a Super Bowl champion. You know, I think that's everything you work for. I think that's my goal.
Well, this defense certainly has gotten better over the course of the season, and the big acquisitions was Tyrann Mathieu and Frank Clark, and they brought a different mindset to this defense.
You know, before I got here, it was a point of emphasis to kind of get guys with some attitude, some, you know, a little chip on their shoulder. Obviously, I feel like me and Frank bring that in. But it's not anything special we do. I think it's just our character, really how we practice each and every day.
Still, it's all about winning the Super Bowl. Mathieu says his team is, they're razor focused, ready to go Sunday.
You know, we're a really young team. We're vibrant. We're full of energy. You know, we love to live life. You know, a lot of these guys have a lot of passions, you know, outside of football. But I'm really proud of our guys. I feel like our guys are doing a good job of really just focusing on football. And I think as a leader, that's everything you can ask for from your teammates.
Well, this defense, we talked about it, it has been a lot better ever since they lost that game in Tennessee where they really struggled. In fact, they had 45 sacks this year, which is, everybody thinks about the Niners with their pass rush. They had 48 sacks. The Chiefs were right behind them with 45. But yet, when you hear all the people talking about it, you think that the Chiefs don't get sacks, and the Niners, that's all they get, is sacks. And Andy Reid, pretty proud of how the defense has improved.
The guys have bought into what Steve has asked them to do, and they've done it even during the tough times. So they stuck together knowing that, listen, if we just stay with the process, that down the road we'll be better. And they saw small increments, I mean tiny increments early of improvement, and then it kind of took off. So out of where they're playing good football right now.
Okay, so this defense, everybody's talking about how the Chiefs got to slow down or stop the run of the 49ers, but Andy Reid realizes that Garoppolo can sling it.
They've been running the ball here, but Jimmy, if you really look at his quarterback ratings, his percentages, all the statistical facts about him, you see that he's a heck of a quarterback throwing the football. So you've got to, when you come in to play the 49ers, you better be ready to play a complete game in the run and pass game, and you better be ready to do it for four quarters.
Think about the playoff game so far. Chiefs are down 24-0 against the Texans. They were down 17-7 against the Titans. Andy sounds as if he doesn't want to be behind in this game if he can avoid it.
It's hard on the heart. You don't want too many of those. So I'm working on that. That's not the position we want to be in. But if we're there, then we know how to take care of it and work through it. I've got good guys that stick together, good locker room, good coaches. So they'll stick together and fix those problems if they arise.
So a lot of talk about Andy Reid winning his first Super Bowl. If they would win on Sunday, that would be awesome. That probably punch his ticket to the Hall of Fame. He's in his early 60s. And then there's Kyle Shanahan. He's 40. But his dad won a couple Super Bowls with the Broncos, and he had a guy that was pretty good at quarterback, John Elway, had Terrell Davis. Once he got Terrell Davis, that really took the Broncos to a whole nother level. And Kyle Shanahan was asked about him joining his dad as a Super Bowl winning coach.
I mean, I think it's cool like anybody else does. So does my dad. It's neat when you see it, but winning a Super Bowl is as good of something that I could have imagined for my dad growing up, and then to have the chance to do it for myself, there's not much more I can imagine than that in sports. So, I mean, I don't think of the other stuff. I mean, that's pretty cool, and that'll be neat to say someday if that does happen, but just winning a Super Bowl is enough, and that kind of consumes you.
Back in the 2017 draft, the 49ers had the number 2 pick. They could have drafted Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
They needed a quarterback, actually. But what they did was they, Kyle Shanahan worked with the Redskins offensive coordinator with the Redskins, mm-hmm. when they had Kirk Cousins, and they knew that Cousins probably was going to leave Washington. So they thought they'd have a good chance of getting Kirk Cousins. So they decided to go in a different direction And so they did not draft a quarterback. In fact, they took the picks that Chicago gave them to move up one spot to get Mitchell Trubisky. Yeah. And the Niners then turned those picks into improving their defense, which has worked out. But they could have had Patrick Mahomes. They were one of nine teams that passed on Patrick Mahomes. And then the Chiefs moved up from 27 to 10 with trade with the Bills and took him. It's kind of interesting. But the very next year, after that draft and after that season, the Niners did not get Kirk Cousins. But Bill Belichick called Kyle Shanahan, who, by the way, Bill Belichick had called Shanahan after the Patriots beat them in overtime. And he knew that Shanahan was down. And he gave him some advice after they were, you know, blew the 28-3 lead. And Belichick always wanted Garoppolo. He didn't, I think he knew that he probably wouldn't be able to wait his time behind Brady in New England. So he always wanted to find Garoppolo a good place to succeed. And he called Kyle Shanahan and said, hey, what do you think? And they worked out a trade, John Lynch, the general manager, to get Jimmy Garoppolo, who was a backup behind Tom Brady. Jimmy G's gotten some advice from Brady this week and throughout the playoffs, and Shanahan says that he and Jimmy Garoppolo have been a good match.
Jimmy goes as hard as he can, and we're both ourselves, and we don't deviate from that at all. And I think just getting to know him and being with him over these few years, it has been a good match because I think our personalities match out well together, and we help bring out the best in each other.
One thing to keep an eye on in this game is that the Niners have an old-fashioned fullback. He can catch the ball. They don't usually run him much. He's a great blocker, and it's a big part of their running game. And Shanahan discusses the use of the fullback in their offense.
You look at what you have, and you base it off the matchups you go against, and all the versatility that Kyle can do in the run and the pass game, all the stuff we can put on his plate, the type of football player he is, just at how natural it is. He always has an assignment on who to block, but he knows the time and place when it'll help to go to someone else, and that's something you can't really coach. You guys just have to understand the big picture, and he can pick all that stuff up mentally, and he's very talented too.
All right, so it is the Chiefs and the Niners, Super Bowl 54. Coming up on Sunday, it's time for us to break down the game with you here on The Ticket. Let's start with the reasons why the Chiefs will win. And Dusty, if you got some reasons other than the ones I present, feel free to chime in. The first one I have is the 49ers play zone defense. They play primarily zone defense. And part of the reason they do that is they don't have to blitz a lot. So they can rush four, and they can play zone, and they don't want to get beat over the top, which is a good plan against the Chiefs. The only problem is the Chiefs can tear up zones and just, you know, 8-yard dink, 5-yard screen, swing pass, Mahomes runs, finds Kelsey. You know, they could just, the Chiefs are more patient offensively this year, and they've had to be because teams have been running zone.
Yeah.
So then what you do is you run RPOs against the Niner defense. Because of that zone, you can run RPOs, run pass options, read what the zone's doing. And two teams that the Niners have faced this year that run a lot of RPOs, the Niners have struggled with. Arizona, they won both games against Arizona, but one, they barely won. Kyler Murray, a rookie, was 41 of 57 throwing the ball against the Niner D for 391 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. He ran for 101 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah.
In two games against the Seahawks, Russell Wilson, one of the most mobile quarterbacks in NFL, completed 49 of 74 passes, 465 yards, 3 touchdowns, just 1 interception. He ran for 82 yards. The Seahawks beat the Niners once and very well could have beat them the final game of the regular season, but were inches short at the goal line. So why will the Chiefs win? One, their RPO offense against the Niners. The Niners have problems with RPO offenses. And then two, mobile quarterbacks. And Mahomes has shown that he's very mobile in what he can do. Not only running the ball, but buying time in the pocket. That's where he's so dangerous. You just heard Nick Bosa say, we got to keep him in the pocket. We got to stay on top of him and stay in our lanes and condense things. Well, once he gets out of the pocket, we know he's dangerous. He can throw deep like he did to Watkins to get the final dagger against the Titans. We've seen it so many times. So there's two reasons why I think the Chiefs will win the game. Is their RPO offense against the Niners is a good matchup. And then Mahomes is a mobile quarterback. He can avoid sacks. I don't think he's going to get sacks 5, 6, 7, 8 times. Third is the Chiefs' speed. The Niners haven't seen this type of speed all year long. They have not seen an offense this good all year long. The only one that comes close would be the Saints. They gave up 46 in that game. Now, D4 didn't play in that game. Niners had some injuries. I understand that. That was a road game, too, in New Orleans. Niners did win it on a last-second field goal. The Niners' offense scored 48 in that game. Okay? So keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. But Richard Sherman, a lot of talk about how good he is as a corner. Some people criticize him saying he doesn't really play man-to-man. He plays zone. Listen, he can only cover one guy at a time. He can only cover one guy at a time. So if the Niners want to go man-to-man, who does Sherman defend? Because Tyreek Hill torched him a couple times last year at Arrowhead.
Yeah.
So I don't think that would be the matchup. The fourth reason why the Chiefs will win is their defense. I can't believe I'm saying this because I never dreamt I would. But Garoppolo has problems with some looks he's seen this year, and he does not see underneath coverage very well, and he does not read linebackers very well. He had the seventh highest interception rate out of 32 quarterbacks this year, 13 interceptions. So he'll give you an opportunity to pick one off. The Chiefs can't drop it. They need to pick it off when they have that opportunity. So the defense, I think, with Steve Spagnuolo, they're going to bring a lot of pressure when they can. I think there'll be a lot of pressure to slow down the run, too. And they're going to throw out some, I think, confusing looks for Garoppolo. And then the fifth reason why the Chiefs are going to win, and I've just got one word, Mahomes. Mahomes, franchise quarterback. If Mahomes is or going to be one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, he wins Sunday. Now, if he loses, no big deal. He could go back and go 4-1 in the Super Bowl. But Dan Marino got the Super Bowl very young, and people thought he'd get tons of chances, and he didn't get any more chances. Elway had all kinds of issues early in Super Bowls, but he didn't have a complete team. And then eventually with Terrell Davis and Mike Shanahan won a couple of Super Bowls. But Mahomes, there's just something about him. And I don't think the pressure of this will get to him. I think he's going to have a very good game. And I think that's the biggest reason why the Chiefs are going to win, as long as his receivers catch the ball and avoid the penalties, of course. What about X factors in this game? Guys that you might be thinking, boy, if they play well, the Chiefs got a great chance. I'll tell you, everybody talking about Hill and Watkins even, and Hardman in the return game, in the passing game, and Kelsey, and there's talk about Mahomes. And the guy that's left out is Damian Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Damian Williams has been he's healthy always. Finally.
Yeah.
They always forget about him.
Yeah.
He's at an 84 and a 91-yard touchdown run this year.
And how many big touchdowns he scored the last couple of years?
In the playoffs. He's been great. He was awesome against the Patriots. And he's finally healthy. I think he is the ultimate X factor on offense for the Chiefs. And then the other one, which might seem somewhat obvious, I think some people say on defense it's Chris Jones or Tyrann Mathieu. For me, it's Frank Clark. Because Frank Clark against the Titans did a great job of setting the edge to where that kept things inside. Now, the Niners are quicker and faster at the point of attack than the Titans were, and Henry is a fast guy once he gets going, but these guys can stop and go quick, the running backs, any one of the three for the Niners. So it's important that the ends contain and set the edge. And Clark did a great job against the Titans in doing that, funneling it back to the linebackers who hit their gaps, and that's a big reason why the Chiefs did a pretty good job against the Titan running game. So I think Frank Clark, he's healthy, he sets the edge, and then if you can get the San Francisco in a third and long situation, Clark has had a propensity to get to the quarterback, as we've seen since he's been healthy. Any other reasons that you that stand out to you, like, wow, the Chiefs are going to win the game if this happens? I mean, obviously, if they are +3 in turnover category, Mahomes throws are 6 touchdowns. I'm talking a matchup situation like I went over.
Yeah, and I don't see anything deeper than what you're talking about. I think most of those things are true. Other than the stuff we know about, like Tyrann Mathieu can obviously cause some problems, like you said. And, Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't read linebackers, but, Mathieu can be that guy that can be everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about how Richard Sherman can only cover one guy at a time. Mathieu covered 3 guys on one play. I saw the breakdown of it, and it's like, this is insane what he can do.
Yeah.
Like, he takes this away, and then you think, oh, you have this, but now he's over there. He's taking that away.
Right.
And he's taking three options away before you even have time to think about all your checkdowns.
Right.
And so those are the kind of things that we're looking at, I think, with the Chiefs' defense, is why you talk about them having a chance to win, is because, like you said, Frank Clark could be a difference maker, set the edge, and make sure that they're not getting to the outside and getting big plays that way. But, again, Mathieu can be the guy that can do everything for him. And, I think that's probably what I'm looking at as far as my biggest thing. I mean, we know what the offense can do.
Mm-hmm.
And the 49ers are good defensively. I get that.
Sure.
But this offense is still going to score points more than likely. So
It's
about what the defense can do. And what stands out the most to me is those two additions that they had in the offseason. Mm-hmm. And they could be huge factors on Sunday.
Chris Jones should be healthier now, too. Yeah. That'll be big for the Chiefs. Okay, so why will the 49ers win, if there's any 49er fans out there? And the 49ers, when I was growing up, the Chiefs were my number one team. The 49ers were my number two team. I love Steve Young. I love Joe Montana. I love Jerry Rice. And Roger Craig was one of my favorite players. And Brent Jones. I mean, those guys. Tom Rathman. I think John Taylor. Their offense was awesome. Well, the Chiefs is awesome, too.
Yeah.
Why the 49ers will win? Well, first of all, number one's the obvious. They have that zone rush attack. And that's what the Broncos use when they won Super Bowls with Terrell Davis. They break tackles. The running backs run hard, but they also are fast. They can stop on a dime. They all three of them are very shifty. The Chiefs have to wrap up. They have to tackle well. If they don't, it's going to be a long day. It's going to be like what Green Bay went through. And if they're able to run the ball very effectively, then what that does is it limits the possessions, as we've heard so many times. And the Chiefs don't have the ball a lot. And time of possession, the defense wears down. And Mahomes on the sideline looking up at the scoreboard, Jumbotron, going, when am I going to get the ball? So that's obvious. If the Niners run the ball really, really well, I still think the Chiefs can win the game. But if the Niners run for over 200 yards, it's going to be extremely tough. The 49ers were second in rush offense this year. The Chiefs were fourth worst against the run. But does that matter? Because everybody thought Derrick Henry was going to run over the Chiefs, and that didn't happen. And the Chiefs were down in that game, 10-0, 17-7. But they were able to stop Derrick Henry when they had to, the defense, to get the ball back, and then the Chiefs got red hot on offense. Now, the Niner defense is much better than the Titan defense, let's be fair. Second thing is, I think the Niners can confuse the Chiefs with play action and their pre-snap motion. They run a lot of motion, and they're so much more successful when they run motion. And motion is all window dressing for what they're going to run. It causes your defense and players to react differently. You know, the Chiefs run a lot of motion, too, and misdirection. And the Niners are really good. And Kyle Shanahan and Andrew Reid, I think, are the two best play callers in the National Football League right now. And so this can be a nice game of chess between these two great offensive play callers. But think about the Titan game. In that first half, they scored the first three times they had the ball. But it wasn't Derrick Henry running the ball every time. It was Tannehill on play action.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some guys open. And I think Garoppolo is better than Tannehill. So Garoppolo could really hurt the Chiefs with the play action pass and with all that motion on offense pre-snap. So that's the second reason why the Niners win. The third reason, so many people are talking about Bosa and Ford versus Schwartz and Fisher, which are great matchups on the edge. But you know what my bigger concern is? We've talked about it earlier this year. When Mahomes struggled earlier in the year at times in a few games, and granted he wasn't perfectly healthy to get away from pressure, was that he couldn't step up in the pocket because of the pressure up the middle. And DeForest Buckner and Eric Armstead are really good on the inside of that 49er front four. Bosa and Ford get the accolades because they get all these sacks. But those two guys in the middle against an undersized Austin Ryder at center, that concerns me because if they can get pressure up the middle, guess what? Now Mahomes has got to go deeper in his drops. Now he's got to go wider and deeper to scramble. And now he's got to work really hard just to get back to the line of scrimmage to avoid Bosa or Ford off the edge. So I think that's really an underrated aspect of this game. And I think the Niners can cause problems for the Chiefs up the middle with their pass rush and the two D tackles and slowing down the run, which the Chiefs don't really try to run the ball that much. But do keep in mind, the Niners have 48 sacks this year. The Chiefs have 45. But here's the other thing. The Niners don't blitz a lot because they get pressure with their front four. They only blitz 21% of the time.
Yeah.
So that means they don't have to go man-to-man. But here's the thing. If they go to man-to-man coverage, the Chiefs just carve up this zone, and the Niners say, we got to go man-to-man, now guess what happens? Advantage Chiefs. Because you go man-to-man, or you got double Hill. You might have to double Kelsey. Now you got Hardman or Watkins one-on-one. You know what the other problem is with that whole situation? There's nobody to spy Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Mahomes now can have 15 yards in front of him to run because you've got these guys going vertical routes down the field. So the Niners got to hope that they don't have to play man-to-man. Isn't that weird? Because early in the year, the Chiefs had problems against man-to-man. And after the Colts game, Mahomes goes, we have to figure out how to go against man-to-man. I would say right now the Chiefs would love to see man-to-man because that opens up the big play capability for them. So if you're the Niners, whatever you do, you don't want to have to play man. But if the Chiefs offensive line does a great job and there's no pass rush, he's going to carve them up whether they play zone or man. But if they go man, now he's going to hit them deep. Or he's going to run and run and run and run. So that's something to keep in mind. Another reason I think the Niners will win this game in regards to the 49er perspective, because I'm not saying the Niners are going to win. Prediction's coming up in a moment. I've heard this talk about the Chiefs haven't faced this good of a defense all year long, which is probably true. That the Niners have not faced a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes this year. I mean, Russell Wilson's pretty good, but Mahomes is a unique cat. I get that. The Niners haven't faced this type of speed all year long. The Chiefs haven't faced this type of speed in the backfield all year long. And what I keep missing here is I went through the schedule of the Chiefs. You know, the Chiefs always have the advantage at tight end. Travis Kelce's the best tight end on the field. What good or great tight end have the Chiefs faced all year long? There isn't one.
Yeah, no.
There isn't one.
Even if there was, it wouldn't come to my mind right now.
There isn't one.
Because there isn't.
The Raider tight end's decent. Greg Kittle's a Pro Bowler, and the Chiefs have not seen anybody like him this year. And I think that's something that people are overlooking. Kittle could be a killer against the Chiefs in this game. Who matches up against Kittle? Is it a Chiefs linebacker? The Chiefs linebackers aren't good in coverage. We know that.
Yeah.
Is Tyrann Mathieu then going to cover Kittle? He's given up a lot of size. And then that prevents Mathieu from what? Moving around on the field and blitzing and disguising blitzes. So how the Chiefs can defend Greg Kittle, I think, is huge in this game. Emmanuel Sanders is a good wide receiver. The Deebo Samuel's kid, a rookie, is very talented. The Niners are better at wide receiver than some people think. Okay, so the X factor on the Niners side for me are those D tackles I talked about, getting pressure up the middle, Armstead and Buckner. And then on offense, and we heard Coach Shanahan refer to it, this is something else the Chiefs have not seen this year. They have not seen a fullback like Kyle Juszczyk. This kid is paramountly important to the Niners in the run game. He destroys guys leading the way to run. You know the last time I saw a fullback destroy the Chiefs? AFC title game last year. When they ran the fullback with Devlin, and they just kept blocking and blocking, and then they just ran down the throats of the Chiefs' defense and, of course, ran in easily with Burkhead to score a touchdown to win it in overtime. That is a concern for me as well. And on top of that, this kid can catch the ball out of the backfield, so he's another weapon that you have to account for. So the Niners' offense is much better than some people think. I think everybody's all caught up in, oh, they just run the ball. They don't. But against the Packers, that's all they had to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the Packers had no game plan. Their game plan was horrendous. They didn't change anything from when they got smoked early in the year on Monday Night Football. So I think we're putting too much stock in the Niners ran all over the Packers. Keep in mind, the Niners against the Vikings threw the ball and got some big plays. They also, Garoppolo threw a bad interception to a linebacker on underneath coverage. So keep all that in mind. The Niners can throw the ball. And the Chiefs, by the way, the Niners are going to play, they're going to rush four and only have six in the box. The Chiefs can run the ball, something that people aren't talking about much either. The Niner offense averaged 30.2 points a game, the Chiefs 29.8. So everybody just thinks on paper the Chiefs offense is so much better than the Niners. Statistically, the answer is no, they're about even in regards to the most important category, points. Mm-hmm. You go all you want on third down conversions, yardage, red zone, blah, blah, blah. The ultimate way you get judged as an offense and defense is what? Points.
Well, how you score, yeah.
So, clearly, the Chiefs have a huge advantage on offense. Not so fast. The Niners average 30.2. The Chiefs' offense average 29.8. Well, clearly, the Niners have a huge advantage defensively than the Chiefs do. Well, when you go to the statistics, the Niners are 18.9 points they allow on defense. The Chiefs, 20.2. But guess what? When you take away the special teams touchdowns, there's been a couple. The Chiefs and the Niners is a dead heat in regards to points allowed per game. So the misnomer out there is the Niners defense is clearly better than the Chiefs defense. That's what most people would say, right? And that the Chiefs offense is better than the Niner offense. When the facts are, they're about even on both sides when it comes to points. So that's why Vegas says 1-point favorite.
Yeah.
Right? All right, time for our predictions. We've broken it down here the last half hour. Time for the predictions. I'm not changing mine. Well, I am in a way. Before the season, I had the Chiefs winning it. I had the Chiefs beating the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. Well, so much for the Cowboy pick. And then, before the playoffs, I said it was Niners and Chiefs are going to go to the Super Bowl, but I picked the Niners to win. It is my heart that's probably talking right now. And I do see all kinds of scenarios where the Niners do win this game, but I keep coming back to number 15. Chiefs 31-27. That's my pick.
Absolutely the same for me. I feel like, obviously, it's a close matchup, like you said, with a 1-point spread. And everything leans, like, you don't know which way to go on it. Mm-hmm. And so it could go either way, you know. And I, like you said, there's plenty of scenarios where the 49ers win, but that's the same thing I do. I go back to Mahomes, and I go back to just what you need to win Super Bowls lately. And I put Mahomes higher than Garoppolo on that, and and I feel like the Chiefs can force some mistakes for Garoppolo. So I'm going to pick the Chiefs. Score's tough here. I'm going to say 35-31.
35-31. So yeah. Both going covering the over under. That's 50.
Yeah, I feel confident that the over will get covered.
I think so too. And I think the defense are going to be a little bit tired in the second half, and there'll be more and more points. What I do fear, this is the nervous Nell in me, because I've been through, and you have too, so many heartbreaks for the Chiefs over the years in postseason play. I'm nervous about the officiating, about some bad call. I'm nervous about Mahomes. You know, last year, the AFC title game, Mahomes wasn't the reason they lost that game. He did everything he possibly could.
Yeah.
And he never got the ball in overtime because of the coin toss, and defense couldn't stop anybody on third downs. Dee Ford's offsides, not Mahomes' fault. You know, in this game, Mahomes can play great, but if the receivers drop his passes or Damian Williams fumbles and is returned for a touchdown like he did against Tennessee, or Butker misses a chip shot field goal, or, defense can't stop anybody. And then people will say, oh, Mahomes, he lost his first Super Bowl. But you look at his numbers, he goes 30 for 41 for 418 yards and four touchdowns, and they lose 42-41.
Yeah.
That's not fair. You can't do everything. I am worried a little bit about that, or Andy Reid mismanaging clock is still always a concern for me.
Yeah.
Or at the end, if he gets conservative up 7 or up 4 and doesn't have a chance to win a Super Bowl 4th-and-2 at the 9 or 38 and he punts it.
He'll
never live that one.
Your thing about Andy Reid and the clock, if Patrick Mahomes doesn't make that insane run at the end of the first half,
mm-hmm.
in the AFC Championship, we're talking about that. Mm-hmm. We're talking about how Andy settled for a field goal at the end of the first half. Because
he wasn't using his timeouts.
He had two left, and I was saying it. You can ask my buddy that I was watching the game with. I'm like, he needs to call a timeout. He's got two of them. Call one of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, Mahomes makes the big run, and there's what comes in.
Mm-hmm.
We got 15. He's going to make a play.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a situation where he can bail out the coach, and we're not talking about those things. But we would have been talking about that had he not made that big run, because there was 11 seconds left when he scored the touchdown.
That's right. What about Kyle Shanahan on the flip side? Shanahan, you know, they're up 28-3, and they were still aggressive in play calling, and if they'd been more conservative, they probably would have beat the Patriots. And they threw passes that are incomplete and stopped the clock. You know, what happens in this game if the Niners are in that situation and he becomes conservative?
Yeah.
In some ways, it might be a blessing for the Niners, because then he'll keep running the ball when some teams would maybe not, and he'll stay conservative, because that really fits the mold of what the Niners like to do, is running the football. So that'll be, because there's got to be demons in his head or ghosts in his head thinking, oh, my God, you know, 28-3, what do I do here? I don't want to be second-guessed. I mean, it's your human nature to think that way. So I think it'd be interesting to see how the coaches handle this. The in-game adjustments are going to be huge. I think halftime adjustments are going to be huge in this game, because I think early on the Chiefs are going to feel things out. Offensively, they don't usually start real fast this year for some reason.
Yeah.
So I could see the Chiefs down 10-0 again. I really could. And no need to freak out. All right, MVP picks. Who's going to win the MVP? Now, if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, it'll be a Chiefs player more than likely. Mahomes is the obvious answer. I think both of us will say that. But who would be the sleeper MVP? My sleeper would be Damian Williams.
Yeah. I'm trying to find a dark horse just to be different. He doesn't go to a defensive player a lot. But
see, I don't think it's Hill or Kelsey, because guess who's throwing him all those passes and yards?
It's Mahomes.
It'll be Mahomes.
Yeah, so if the passing game
Hardman
is what wins
returning
it,
kicks or something and catches a combination?
I just say my dark horse is Tyron Matthew.
Okay, you know, make a couple picks or something.
Pick six or
strip fumble.
Yeah,
okay,
fumble return. Just as a dark horse.
Okay.
I think Mahomes is going to get it, but just to say something different.
For the Niners, for me, MVP, I think Garoppolo, you always go quarterback, but I think my first choice would be Greg Kittle or a running back. That'd probably be my first choice.
Yeah. Mostert plays like he did the NFC Championship. Well, it'll be him.
It'll be him, no doubt. If he runs for 220, Chiefs are going to probably lose this game.
Yes.
All right, the Super Bowl, here's the schedule. We are the home for Super Bowl 54 here in North Central Kansas, our sister station Z96.3 Lake. Our coverage will begin at 1 o'clock. We might have a special we run from noon to 1. I'm working on that yet. But at 1 o'clock, we will have Westwood One's coverage pregame all the way up to 3 o'clock. Then we'll have the Chiefs' local pregame coverage from 3 to 4. From the Chiefs Network, then back to Westwood One from 4 o'clock all the way to kickoff at 5:30. And Kevin Harlan, former Chief play-by-play guy, will be the play-by-play of the national broadcast. I'm sorry we don't get Mitch. We're not allowed to use that. It stinks, but it is what it is. Then we'll get the Chiefs post-game coverage from the Chiefs Network from 9:30 to 11 o'clock. So we'll have at least 10 hours of Super Bowl coverage for you for the Chiefs, their first Super Bowl in 50 years. And hopefully from 9:30 to 11, you will be glued listening to the radio to hear all the reactions and the celebrations of the Chiefs winning their first Super Bowl since January of 1970. We leave you with this. as you get ready for Super Bowl 54. Go Chiefs! Bring it home, KC. Bring it home, Patrick Mahomes. Bring it home, Tyrann Mathieu, Frank Clark, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Damian Williams, whoever you are, bring it home. Not only win the Super Bowl for Andy Reid and get the monkey off his back, but also bring home the Super Bowl. Bring the Lombardi Trophy back to Kansas City for the first time in 50 years. Get hyped, Chiefs fans. The Super Bowl is only 2 days away. My six-year-old for the last 5 days has asked me, how many days until the Super Bowl? My six-year-old's stoked and ready. So am I. We hope you are as well. If you can't watch on TV, enjoy the coverage on the radio on Sunday.
Terrified. Coach Reed, Travis Kelce, Tyreek, Chris Jones, Tyrann Mathieu, Patrick Mahomes, united under one goal. No stopping us, gonna win the Super Bowl. Coach Reed, Travis Kelce, Tyreek, Chris Jones, Tyrann Mathieu, Patrick Mahomes. One team, one city, one mission. Everybody making plays in every position. Going for it, full down, crowd gone wild. I've been looking forward to it since I was a child. Now it's first in the AFC, next on the front page. New world champions falling on the big stage. And when they feel it shaking the ground, you can tell them it's the sound of the kingdom coming. Chiefs kingdom, Arrowhead pride. Let's go, baby, competition terrified. You thought we were nothing. Tell me how it feels to be so wrong about something. Wish that I could see the look upon your face when we put the Lombardi in our trophy case. Maybe year after year we'll be living this dream. Cause it's a nightmare trying to stop 15. Showtime superstar, be record breaking. Future Hall of Famer, history making. And when they feel it shaking the ground, you can tell them it's the sound of the kingdom coming. Let's go, baby, competition terrified. Coach Reed, Travis Kelce, Tyreek, Chris Jones, Tyrann Mathieu, Patrick Mahomes, united under one goal. No stopping us, gonna win the Super Bowl. Coach Reed, Travis Kelce, Tyreek, Chris Jones, Tyrann Mathieu, Patrick Mahomes.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.